So let's get into it.
So on this
Draymond Green, as we said, is talking. All right? He did an interview with The Athletic, and he addressed Kevin Durant and his future with the Warriors. Of course, KD can opt out and become a free agent this summer. Here's what Draymond said. He is part of it right now, speaking of KD. Whatever happens this summer happens. If he go, he go. If he stay, he stay. But while he's here, we're going to win another championship. It's just that simple. Nothing else matters. Rob Parker, before you sound off, let me tell you something. I love it! I love this. Draymond is no nonsense. Draymond's not going to pamper you. He's not going to baby you. He's like, hey, KD, we move past all that. He's here right now, and all that matters is winning a championship. And, Rob, they know. They hear the stuff just like we hear it around the league. They know what people are saying, and they are resigned to the fact that Kevin Durant is most likely out of Golden State. So now they are rallying around one cry. This is the last hurrah. This is it. We got 3 months together. 3 months together with what might be the most talented team in NBA history. What might be the greatest offensive dynasty in NBA history. We got 3 months left. Let's go out with a bang, and that can get everybody focused on the same page. I love it, and I think it's bad news for the rest of the NBA.
It was already bad news whether he said it or not. Draymond doesn't change. He's the same guy. And I don't know, Draymond, what's his contract status? Is he going to be there?
Next year, he'll be a free agent.
Yeah.
After this summer, the following summer.
The following, so he's got another year.
If KD were to stay in Golden State and they had to let one of the big four go, I'm not including DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
Draymond would be the odd man out.
Right.
But if KD leaves, then you have to not only keep Draymond, but you might have to overpay him a little bit. Because he's that important to the team. Unless you can find somebody to not only be a great defender, but also be the great playmaker he is on the offensive end.
But
I don't think you can.
He's not the same player, though.
No, he's not.
He's not the same player.
But you still got to bring him back. And Steph loves him, too.
No, I get all that, but he's not the same player. I think he lost his confidence along the way. But I'm not surprised.
I just think his body's breaking down a little bit on him.
That might be it as well. But, yeah, Steve Kerr, after reading the comments, this is what he had to say about Draymond. He said, I'm tired of Draymond's. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Just recently.
I remember that.
No, but this is Draymond. This is what Draymond does. He's not one of the guys to bite his tongue. That's why he got into the thing with Durant. Some other guys would have said, this is not really what I want to do, but that's not how he's wired.
And he was wrong. He shouldn't have got on Durant like that.
No, not in that situation. Right. If you want to say
Durant
something to somebody.
Durant was wrong first.
Right. Well, Durant
by jumping on Draymond, because Draymond's a playmaker. Draymond can make plays.
I get it. But it was one of those situations, and I'm not saying he's not. But you don't need to do that and undress him. In public,
that's a
am
good
I right?
Word
I mean, that's what it was.
He did undress him,
and that wasn't necessary.
He's still barely getting the clothes on,
and I think that I don't think it helped Draymond at all. It is who he is, and you have to sometimes put up with people and how they're wired,
right?
You know, and it's worked for the Warriors up until this point. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm with you. If they were forced to make a decision, he would be the guy they let go.
Oh, yeah, no question.
There's no doubt about that.
If you have to. Do you like the comment? Some people see some
people. What, about that they're going to win?
No. Some people are jumping on Draymond saying, oh, look at him. Whatever happens, happens. If he stays, he stays. If he goes, he goes. Like, they're saying Draymond is too dismissive of Durant and his importance to the team. Like, you should be like, oh, we hope he stays. I mean,
nah,
that's our guy.
That would be that doesn't fit with Draymond. So I'm not expecting.
But I
somebody.
Think Draymond would like him to stay. I mean, that was why he
was
he
the
went
one
off when he
well,
calling
but
him the B word. Now that was like because he was upset that KD was leaving it open.
Well, and I just think he was also the guy went and recruited him.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
So,
right.
So I just think that this is who he is. You have to accept it. He's not stepping out of bounds or being different, doing something different. And I think that's why he's more genuine. Whether you like it or not, this is how he rolls, and you have to accept it. You have to accept this with Draymond, with the other good stuff that he brings, right, to this team.
Yep.
And whatnot. And when that other stuff that he brings isn't good enough, then comments like that don't make it to where you want to keep a guy like that around.
Right.
Do you get
it?
Am I right?
No question. I'm going to tell you this, too. If Kevin Durant leaves Golden State.
I'm still not convinced he's leaving for sure.
Yeah, I mean, none of us know for sure. He may not even know 100%, but most people think he's going to New York. But if he leaves, mark my words, Rob Parker, Golden State is not going away. They will come out next season with a chip on their shoulder to prove to everybody that they were more than just Kevin Durant.
They won't win, though.
They might win. They won it without him to begin with.
And they also lost a 3-1 lead without him.
That's all right. They still won a championship. You're right. But they still won a championship. And they came back from a 3-1 lead against him, too.
3-1 choke. That's a 3-1 choke. I'm just saying.
Okay, but he had a 3-1 choke, too.
Who?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I'm talking about at their hands. No, but I'm talking about the other guys who are on that team.
No, I get it. But that doesn't mean they can't win.
I'm not saying that they can't win, but
they will be one of the contenders.
That's one thing that hurts them when you talk about this greatest team of all time choking. It had never happened in the NBA Finals ever. They choked down a 3-1 lead. It never happened, and I think that's what's going to stop people from always looking at that team. And I know Kevin Durant and what he's done, and he could win 3 in a row, and he could be MVP 3. But I'm talking about the whole kit and caboodle without Kevin Durant. It'd be hard for you to do that just because of that one series.
You mean it'd be hard to say they're the best ever?
Yes.
But I don't think that's going to affect them next year. I don't think they're going to be thinking in their minds, oh, we let a 3-1 lead.
No,
slip.
I'm just talking about the way
right.
people are, and I'm just saying.
Right. No, you nitpick. We talk about it all the time. Jordan never had anything remotely close to that.
And we're talking about it's never happened.
Now, the Showtime Lakers had their foibles in the finals.
But I'm just saying that one has never been done.
3-1, no. But they also won 73 games.
Right.
And you know what?
There was always Jeter has that on his record as well.
Right.
That Yankee team that won five, they were up 3-0 to the Red Sox, and no team had ever come back from 3-0.
Yep.
That's on that Jeter, Mariano, Posada, right. Yankee team, Pettit, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's one of those. And I think that when you nitpick and you look at talk about the greatest teams of all time, that's probably one that won't let the Yankees be one of those. You know what I mean? Or won't be the greatest. They'll be among the greatest, not the greatest.
It's a good discussion. That's a really good discussion.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right. It's time for Broussard's Big Six.
Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Big Six.
All right, this week's Big Six, the most captivating NCAA tournament teams of the past 40 years. I picked 40 years because that's how long I remember watching the tournament. 1978, Kentucky beat Duke. Remember Kyle Macy?
Yeah.
That was the first tournament I remember watching.
You know what I remember is the Bird Magic. That was the next year. That was mine. That's the one that stuck with me.
Right. So here we go.
Number six.
The 2015 Kentucky Wildcats. Led by freshman Karl Anthony Towns. Not Anthony Davis. Karl Anthony Towns. Devin Booker, Jr., Willie Cauley-Stein, and remember the sophomore twin brothers, Andrew and Aaron Harrison. They entered the tournament undefeated. They were trying to become the first team since the 1976 Indiana Hoosiers to finish a season undefeated. They were 38-0 when they got bounced out of the Final Four by Wisconsin.
Number five.
The 1990 UNLV Running Rebels. led by Larry Johnson.
They lost.
He was the closest thing to what we're seeing with Zion Williamson right now. They had Stacey Augmon, Greg Anthony, also Anderson Hunt. They won. They wiped out Duke, Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, and those guys by 30 points in the championship game. Then they lost the next season. But 1990, they won.
Number four.
1979, Michigan State Spartans, led by the great Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was so good, he made Greg Kelcer look like a superstar.
Throwing him all those alley-oops. Greg Kelcer was a good player in college.
Yeah, but he didn't have an NBA career.
Right, he didn't have an NBA career.
But he was great in college, probably because Magic was getting him all those open dimes. But anyway, they won every game in the tournament by double figures, including what is probably the biggest, most iconic game in tournament history. Magic and the Spartans beat Larry Bird and Indiana State.
Number three.
Patrick Ewing's Georgetown Hoyas.
Pick anyone.
Any of the four. 1982 to 1985. That was the most intimidating. I mean, in like a violent, frightening, scary way. College basketball team of all time. They reached three national title games. Think about that. Three championship games in Ewing's 4 years, but they only won one. It was against Hakeem Olajuwon and Houston. But that great big man matchup never really materialized either between Ewing and Olajuwon. But that team, iconic.
Number two.
Michigan's Fab Five. I know they never won the championship, but I said
they don't belong.
I said captivating. And they were indeed captivating. Five freshman starters in an era when the best college players stayed 3 and 4 years.
That is incredible.
I didn't say the best. I said most captivating. Will you listen? Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, Ray Jackson. They reached back-to-back finals, but lost each time to Duke and North Carolina. And they became fashion icons. They were the first to wear the shorts below the knees. And kids did that for about 25 years till the short shorts start coming back. And they wore the black socks. You can't hate. They're the second most captivating in the last 40 years.
Number one.
Houston's Phi Slammer Jammer. Three of them, 1982 to 1984. And again, Rob Parker's going to be mad. Ironically, they never won the championship.
They lost.
But they reached the Final Four 3 straight years.
They lost.
They reached the championship game 2 straight years.
They lost.
But they lost both times. Stop it.
Captivating.
They lost once to North Carolina State on the last second put back by Lorenzo Charles. And then they lost, as I said, to Patrick Ewing's Georgetown
team.
First 2 years, they had Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. And then the last year, just Olajuwon. But those two, of all these six teams, those two went on to become the greatest duo of any of these teams. Obviously, Olajuwon and Drexler, two all-time great NBA players. Now you can talk, Rob Parker.
Rob Parker.
No, I said captivating.
I got it. It's hard to argue with those teams because the top three teams you have there were like the talk of college basketball.
And
I agree with that.
I pick captivating because this Duke team is captivating.
No, Loyola Chicago.
I think that.
That's who Gavin. Is he on the air? You on the air?
No, he's not on the air.
Get on the air, Gavin. That's definitely on the air.
Loyola Chicago.
Nah. I mean, they were captivating a little bit last year, but not these teams would have you the whole year.
No doubt.
Right. The whole season.
Five Slammer Jam, it was disappointing that they never won.
Yes.
I mean, that was.
Yeah, no question. Totally disappointing. Let's hope that this Duke team lives up to that. Maybe they can crack Broussard's Big Six.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
I want to talk about some NBA stuff. We started out with Draymond and Kevin Durant.
Yep.
So I want to stick with the association.
The association.
But I want to move east, okay? The man who I think, you think Harden's MVP. If you had a vote, it'd be Harden, right?
Yes.
Only because he saved their season when it was on the break.
I mean, that's close. I'm leaning. I do have a vote.
But the Bucks going the other way now. Does that hurt him? Nah, I'm just asking you.
I wouldn't say they're going the other way, and they still got the best record in the league, best road record.
That just doesn't seem the same.
Well, Malcolm Brogdon's injury is going to hurt. And look, it could. I mean, you still have, what, 10, 12 games left, something like that. If they lose the number one seed or something, that could have an effect. And if Harden goes on some type of another, you know,
another 10-game stretch or something, it could. Because people remember what you do lastly, don't they?
I'm keeping it open. Harden does have the wow moments. There's no doubt. Even when Giannis had 52 and 16 or whatever it was against Philadelphia the other day, you know, I mean, Harden is just more, I guess, sensational because of the threes and the handle. But Giannis is something special, and I think he's going to win the MVP. We will see.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I want to bring up, Rob, he was interviewed by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently, and he talked about being the face of the league. Because obviously everybody's talking about who's going to replace LeBron James as one,
next year,
the best player in the league, and two, the face of the league, because LeBron was both. Here's what Giannis said about it. People say that I cannot be the face of the league because I'm not American. I don't have the American culture in me. I sat back and thought about that. Should I have a little bit more American swag? Should I come with a suit to the game? Should I be more Americanized? But, man, if I can't be the face of the league being me, I don't want to be the face of the league.
Amen.
That's pretty much it. I do agree with that. Be yourself, Giannis. Be yourself. It's interesting, Rob, because last week – and I'm not saying this – out of any type of braggadocio or anything, because I don't know. But I do know that a week ago, week and a half ago, I was on First Things First. And I said, we talked about who's going to be the next face of the NBA. And I said, I don't know if Giannis can be the face of the NBA because he does. I use that actual term because he doesn't have that American swag. It went viral. I don't know if he saw that, but I tell you what, he said that.
Some that's why
international
I wouldn't doubt that. That's where that came from.
Because I used that very term.
And maybe the guy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I mean,
asked him that question.
Said, "Hey, there's a story, okay?" And you know what I mean? Like, if you hear that about one of the local players, you go, and this is on national TV, you go, that's a good story idea. Let me throw that out to him. You know what I mean?
And I saw this past weekend I met Thon Maker's younger brother, who's like 7 feet shooting threes, great player. Mature Maker is his name.
Mature Maker.
Mature. I think it's M-A-T-U-R. But anyway, I met him and he said to me, he said, "I'm gonna prove to you that international players can have swag."
See?
So I riled up all the non-American brothers out there. So here's the question I want to ask you, Rob Parker. And you can bring it to baseball, too, because there are people that think some of the, you know, struggles that baseball might have with, you know, the popularity or the next generation is that so many of their great players aren't American, and there's a language. They may even speak English, but, you know, if it's not your first language and you're not that comfortable with it, it's hard to be witty and charismatic and all that with a language that you may not be as comfortable with. So I just want to throw it out to you. Can the face of an American sport, football, basketball, or baseball, be a non-American?
Yes. I do believe that if they're that great, and yes – speaking the language helps, okay? Obviously.
That's just
interviews, being glib, with fans connecting. If they're doing an interview with you and I can't really understand or you got to use...
Like a Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Although he has been the face of boxing, but boxing's international. But he doesn't give you... We interviewed him on this show.
Right, we had him on the show.
He doesn't really say anything witty. Because he's just not that great with the language.
And that's the big part, is that it's hard to be witty when you struggle with the language, okay? But I do believe that if he was because he has all the other things. He's an electric player.
Right.
He has a Greek freak body. You know what I mean? Like, all the other stuff that you would say, look at this guy. What a specimen. What a basketball player. Nice guy. Friendly. All the other thing, nice smile, Chris.
He has
all that,
and I like his commercial,
right?
With T-Mobile,
right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so he has all that. And would it be better if he was just a little more, Americanized, I guess, for lack of a better word.
A little
sure.
more swag.
Yeah. But I don't think that if he was that and if he were to win two NBA championships in a row, people would look at this guy and go, this dude's a stud. Like, he's the best basketball player right now.
Tim Duncan was arguably the best player in the world, and he never was the face of the league because he totally lacked the swag. Now, Giannis certainly has more swag than Duncan.
That's because Duncan, those sandals didn't make any sound when he's walking around in those sandals all the time. I mean, I just think that Duncan was way too laid back. Didn't have that kind of personality. And the thing that's so crazy about Tim Duncan, and I get it, the problem with the Spurs ever being this greatest team, they never won back-to-back.
But
it was spread out.
Don't tell me you think even if he had won back-to-back,
no.
he never would have been the face of
I didn't
the league.
Say that. I'm okay. just saying when you talk about the Spurs as a whole, that hurts them a little bit that they never won. Like they had like a true dynasty. They did. They won five over the course of 16 or 18 years, but
right.
but they never had put together where they were that dominant. And here's the other thing, too, which is weird. If it's not for Ray Allen making that shot, Tim Duncan would have been 6-0 like Michael Jordan.
Right.
And you don't even consider it.
Well,
or put it on that plateau. He's 5-1 on a miracle shot. You talk about it all the time. It was one of the greatest shots in the NBA.
Probably the greatest shot.
Am I right?
NBA. I mean, you could argue Kyrie. I would say Ray, though, just because of the name. I mean, that thing was over.
But it didn't seal the game. I mean, it didn't seal the – there still was a game to be played.
It didn't even seal the game.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's the only reason.
Probably I go second.
Yeah, because of that.
Right.
But nobody ever thinks about that.
Well, but here's the thing, and I hear you because you are right. However, if they win that series, the next year is different. Because remember, they were on a mission because they felt like they knew they gave away a series. So they were totally on a mission, especially when they played Miami. They routed them in five. And Miami would have conversely probably been on just the same type of mission the next year. And I don't think San Antonio would have been quite as motivated. So maybe they would have lost, you know what I mean? Maybe they would have lost the next year.
But I'm just saying.
You make sense.
He would have been 6-0, and nobody even entertains that.
No.
Like the idea. But Tim was from where, the Bahamas or something, or
Saint Croix, maybe.
But he was just a laid back guy who wore flip flops and shorts and wasn't interested in all that other stuff.
Nah, he didn't have that swag at
right.
all.
Right.
Here's the thing, though,
I do think if you get the right guy, there could be a guy.
And Giannis. I loved it, and I like Ben Simmons, and I like Ben coming back at him and getting the tip dunk over him on the very next possession. But when they played this weekend, and Giannis backed him down, went up on him, dunked on Ben, and then was like, kind of stared at him, but he didn't say it to his face, but he turned around. He's like, he's a baby. He's a bleeping baby. Like, I like that.
Right.
That's what people want to see in terms of that swag. Here's the thing, though, Rob. In 5 years, maybe sooner, 3 to 5 years, it's possible. I'm not going to discount Anthony Davis. Who knows what Zion will become, Ben Simmons. There's some American players out there. But it's very possible that the best three or maybe even four players in the world could be international. I'm talking about Giannis, Joel Embiid, Luka Doncic in Dallas, and Nikola Jokic in Denver. It's possible. And if that's the case, then somebody, one of them is going to have to be the face of the league. The two I would nominate before Giannis, and he's got a chance because he's got a little bit of swag, but the two I would nominate before him would be Joel Embiid, who does have that charisma. He went to Kansas.
He's very loud about social media, all that other stuff.
He's definitely got the personality. And I tell you what, Luka Doncic, because he, look, being the dominant white player, and he's got that attitude. He goes at brothers. He got some swag to him. He hits last second shots. He reminds me, he's like a Larry Bird, a new age Larry Bird to me. Not just the game exactly, but I mean, his ability in a new age sort of way.
But Dirk was never in that class, and I'm not.
Dirk didn't have the swag that this kid's got.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a really.
And that's another thing.
Right. I understand that, but I'm just saying, I don't know, being that he's. Even though he's
like
white.
Dirk was never in the conversation. And maybe Luka won't get there.
I just don't.
But Duke was never in the conversation as, is he the best player in the world?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's now Nash won two MVPs.
He's
Skip,
from Canada.
We talked about it today on Undisputed. Skip argued that he was close to the face of the league those couple years. I don't think so. I mean, he was certainly he's MVP
back,
twice.
Back-to-back MVPs is nothing to sneeze at.
He was up there, but Kobe and Shaq were probably the face of the league at that time, I'd say. Kobe. LeBron was coming. He wasn't there quite yet.
Yeah.
It was probably Kobe at that time. You know, but maybe there wasn't. You know, there are little sticks
there are
where
periods,
there's not
right.
a
but
face
it's not
of
a,
the league.
But it's definitely not – yeah, that's interesting.
But I think those two, Joel and Luka, if Luka continues to, you know, improve, I think they could be the face before Giannis just because
– I think Giannis can be the face.
He can,
and only because – of the play. Like you gotta really captivate somebody. And I get all the other stuff. The swag is nice.
Right.
But if you don't have the game,
the swag
yeah. you have to have the game.
But Duncan had the game. Right. Now he didn't have the exciting game necessarily, but he had game.
Yeah.
That's my thing. You know, and look, it goes for Americans too. David Robinson was never going to be the face of the NBA.
No.
Because he was, you know, wasn't
he was another
that
guy,
type
right.
Player.
He wasn't that guy.
Kind of personality.
Right, but he was a really good player,
yep.
great player.
Yep, yep. So yeah. you have to have that. So it's interesting. Let's throw it out to you. What do you think? Can an international player be the face of one of our big three American sports, football, basketball, or baseball, really just basketball and baseball?
I think Ichiro had a chance when he first came. You remember he won Rookie of the Year and MVP his first year.
He was great, but could he have been the face?
No, I'm just saying.
Not
like
just
I said,
great player, but the face?
But I'm saying, like, when he first came, he was, like, a sensation. But then he was playing in Seattle. Most people couldn't see him play. And the
so
language
you think
barrier.
If he played in New York.
And the language barrier. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying he had a chance. He had a chance.
What
when
about
he first started.
Roberto Clemente? I mean, he's in 70, died in what, 72? Was he close to being the face of the league?
He was a great player.
No, he's definitely a great player. It's not about being a great player.
No, but I'm trying to think.
The face.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of the other part. I don't think so.
Yeah, so I think it's a legitimate question.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, NCAA tournament starts tomorrow in earnest. Not talking about play-in games.
You got your bracket that you're going to fill one out tonight?
I didn't do the whole bracket. I just looked at it enough to do my Final Four and my champion.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to give. We're going to give our Final
that's
Four
That's what I
champions.
Have, too, yeah.
And I would say book it. To the listeners, book this.
Oh, really?
Book mine.
Book yours? I'm not. I wish I was as confident. Want me to go first?
You can go first.
All right, I got Duke, Buffalo,
you
Tennessee.
Serious?
And North Carolina. Those are my that's
Buffalo.
My, that's my Final Four.
I like I don't think Buffalo's gonna get there, but I like that pick.
That pick
I like
something
your guts.
Different. Yeah. Something,
so did you watch Buffalo? Like you really impressed?
No, I just read some stuff about Buffalo.
Okay.
And I saw a few people had them like they get upset, like they so
they
I'm going
Syracuse
I go,
early in the
I go
year
after
the
Yeah, and I go after like you know, the college basketball guys who watch these teams. So
right,
I read
right.
a lot of stuff up. And those are my Final Four pick. And I have – go ahead.
I was a lot more chalk than you.
Okay.
I went Duke, Gonzaga.
Oh, this is cookie cutter. You didn't do anything.
Tennessee. Tennessee's the second seed.
And North Carolina.
No, Kentucky. I
really?
Got Kentucky, yeah. I got Kentucky. So I got Duke and Gonzaga are one seeds, but Tennessee and Kentucky are two seeds.
No, so, but that most people pick that. That's usually what they pick in the brackets. All right, who you got winning?
So you want me to go first?
Yeah, I went first.
I've got Duke beating Kentucky in the championship.
I got North Carolina winning it.
Over Buffalo?
Yep. No, not Buffalo. I'm just
over
kidding.
Buffalo.
Come on.
North Carolina beating Duke, then.
Yep. North Carolina
Third
beating Duke.
Third time in four meetings that would be.
I got North Carolina.
Wow. That's not bad.
The pressure might be too much on Duke. You know what I mean? Like, everybody expects them to win. They got the best player, hands down. Sometimes it doesn't always work out, and you could get upset.
Well,
you know how it is.
As exciting as this tournament is, as much as we love March Madness, It's not the best way to find the best team.
No.
That's for sure.
One and done. But we say it all the time. If the NBA had adopted it, Michael Jordan wouldn't have six championships.
No.
Because you could get beat on one night.
Somebody can make a shot
and beat you. Now, 4 out of 7, if you're the best player, most of the time it ain't going to happen.
Remember the year the Showtime Lakers won one of their titles? I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but Boston beat them. It was they were calling it the Memorial Day Massacre.
Yeah, I do remember
Boston
that, yeah.
Boston beat the Lakers by like 40 or something, something crazy. And the Lakers came back and won the series. And I don't even know if it went 7. It might
have been six,
but so that just shows you what can happen in a one and done situation. So, you know, you might be right. It was the 85 finals, and Boston destroyed them in game 1, and then the Lakers won the series.